Blog Talk Radio.
These are the last days. These are the days we need him the most. Chances are slim now. Narrow's the way not chosen by most. This could be our last call. There's no tomorrow for holding on to, so let's hold on to the truth. Perilous times have come. There's already those in tribulation. The fullness of times won't be long. The lovers of self more than lovers of God, and there's pride in the hearts of everyone. We need to repent, turn from our ways, and overcome as he overcame. And if we're possibly lukewarm, then we have been forewarned. We need to repent, turn from our ways, and overcome as he overcame. And if we're possibly lukewarm, then we have been forewarned. These are the last days, and we've been condemned by our own disregard for what inhabits our hearts. We're neither hot nor cold, but in our own eyes the temperature's right. Somehow we're living just right. We claim we have need of nothing, and yet we are poor, naked, wretched, and blind. We must be out of our minds. We need to repent, turn from our ways, and overcome as he overcame. And if we're possibly lukewarm, then we have been forewarned. We need to repent, turn from our ways, and overcome as he overcame. And if we're possibly lukewarm, then we have been forewarned. Our vision is impaired. We're looking for gold that's everything but pure. Our vision is impaired. We're striving for gold that's everything but pure. We should seek wider raiment that our nakedness does not appear. To those who have an ear, I hope that this is clear. We need to repent, turn from our ways, and overcome as he overcame. And if we're possibly lukewarm, then we have been forewarned. Turn from my ways and overcome as he overcame. And if we're possibly lukewarm, then we have been forewarned.
Hey,
Good afternoon, dear saints of God. Good afternoon and welcome to another weekly edition of the End Time News Report with the one and only Sister Marie. Well, she's already in studio. We are set to get this thing started. But before we do, I just need you to pray for two brothers who really need prayer. His name is Kevin Morris. Kevin Morris needs prayer. He's been diagnosed with bone cancer. He's going to start treatment next week. And he has asked us to pray for him because, again, the cancer has spread. So he's going to need the Lord there with him every step of the way. And we are representatives of the Lord. We are the church. We are the people of God. And we can call upon God to show his son mercy. So let's pray for Kevin Morris. In addition to that, we're praying for a gentleman by the name of John Hart. He is recovering from appendicitis. So let's continue to cover him in prayer as he recovers. I gave the whole spiel, the whole story yesterday as to how his appendix burst and all the challenges that he went through to get the operation. And boy, what a series of challenges he had to get somebody somewhere in some hospital to operate on him and remove the poisonous organ. So let's continue to pray for our nation. Let's continue to pray for our president, for our governors. The governor here of New York is already looking to shut things down. I would like to shut her down, but I don't have the power to do so. But I would like to shut her down. But she's already looking to shut things down here in the state of New York. And I just keep saying, like my old Pentecostal brothers and sisters, the devil is a liar. So let's continue to pray for these shutdowns, that they don't happen, because these shutdowns are just plain ridiculous. Now, looking at the coming this month, the month of December, I just want to give everybody a heads up. I don't want to tell them on the last show, but I just want to let you know that our last day on the air in the month of December is going to be both December 15th and December 16th. After that, everyone's going on holiday vacation, and we're not going to come back. Excuse me. We're not going to come back until January. So I will give you those dates again, but no, please note that we need to rest. We want to recharge our batteries so that when we come back next year, we're strong. So the last two broadcasts, the AJ's broadcast will be on the 15th of this month. Sister Marie's broadcast will be on Thursday, the 16th of this month. And then after that, we're going to go on a one-month vacation. I need to pray. I need to seek the Lord. There's a lot of things I need to do, and I just want to hunker down with the Lord and get some direction. Right now, I don't have any direction. I don't know what the Lord would have me to do. And whenever that happens, it's always good to shut things down. And it just so happens that me feeling this way just coincides with this time of the year. Let's just continue to pray. I'm looking forward to a very exciting 2022. We've had a great 2021, but I'm looking forward to an exciting 2022, but I'm not getting any direction. So I want to seek the Lord to get that direction. Well, without any further ado, let me bring on my sister, my co-laborer in the gospel, who happens to be a woman of God. Sister Marie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. And you, my brother?
I'm doing well. It snowed, and then it's starting to rain, and so I have a big mess out here.
Yep.
And I went out this morning, and I shoveled – as much as I could, cleared the driveway, cleared the path for people to walk up to my house. You know, so everything is clear. Now it's starting to rain, so it's going to make a big mess everywhere. But that's the time of the year that we're in. And I'm so looking forward to today's show. You and I talked about it off the air. And so I'm very, very excited about what the Lord is going to be telling his people today via this show.
Yes.
So what's your take?
Well, we're going to let Hugo out of the box today, and he's going to tell us what's happening around the globe, you know. So we know that all these world leaders are all of one mind right now. They have one agenda. But the problem that they encounter, and they keep encountering, is a vast majority of the people in the world aren't buying it. There's so many that are saying, well, wait a minute, no. But they aren't buying it yet. Okay, let's put it that way. I think Europe has really gone down here. But herd mentality has been difficult in the U.S. for them. So we have people who had no interest in the U.S. Constitution or the Bill of Rights here, but they're quickly becoming scholars in that area with everything going on. So, you know, it's a thing that the United States, I think, apart from other nations, but it's just a matter of time for us. Nations that were once considered free are slowly being conquered by these Marxists. I mean, you know, so it's a matter of time, but, you know. So with that being said, I want to show how important the media, what role the media plays in pushing this agenda. And Hugo, we're going to let Hugo speak today.
Mm-hmm.
He has some great clips, just some great clips. And most of these things, they're hidden in plain sight, okay? What they're doing is actually just hidden in plain sight. They're showing you the agenda. And if it's one, if there's one thing that the Marxists really do well, is they push their agenda through every outlet available to them, but equally important, they withhold the real truth from every outlet available to them, if that makes sense. So, you know, they can manipulate the media in every way. So, and that's something that they're using.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that they're pushing hard. So, you know, it was difficult, bro, for me to decide what clips to play because I literally probably, you know, have close to 100 of his clips. And so I was going through and I just picked out some to show the agenda, how they push the agenda in advertising, what's coming in the future, you know, from what's happening in Europe, how they're using things like YouTube, things like that, the World Economic Forum, what they're doing in certain schools, some Christmas advertising and the agenda behind it, and just how crazy these leaders are. So we're going to look at all these things. And they're only short clips. Now, some of them say they're 7 minutes, and they may be, but most of these clips will be, he has a time in them where there's music at the end of it.
Okay.
You know, he'll say, be sure to subscribe. And, you know, some of them I've marked and some I haven't. So, so we could go 5 minutes. But we're going to start with the creepy woke Witch Twix advert. Okay? And one more thing. Once in a while, Hugo has some minor swearing. I mean, it's not the big one or the big one.
Right.
You know,
right.
And he usually uses the English term for it. So
Okay. Okay.
So we can overlook that for what's being said, I think, you know.
Sure. Sure.
But this is a creepy. Remember when going to the store and buying a candy bar was, you know, they had the advertising on TV, the old
right.
advertising. They were promoting the product. So in
right.
this audio one, this is about, this is creepy woke witch Twix advert. Now,
okay.
this is part of their media agenda. And the message in this is a candy bar, remember, it's a promotion of transgenderism in children, militant
wow.
behavior to those who oppose them, and the idea that there are good witches in society that are heroes, you know, the old white witch
yeah.
thing.
Sure, sure.
And they're the good witch. So, unfortunately, you can't see it. Our listeners can't see it, but they'll get the idea. They'll get the idea from the advert. So if
okay.
we want to play that, it says 7:43, but if you, for some reason, I'm not sure if I, you know, when he tells you to subscribe, you know, to like-minded believers or whatever in the community, that's when he's done on it. But it says 7:43 on this. So, and we have
okay.
plenty of these.
Okay?
Okay?
Now, tell the saints who Hugo is.
Hugo is from Europe, and I believe Hugo's from England. And
okay.
he has a community. He is really smart. He's very intelligent and very watchful about what's going on. He thoroughly understands the agenda that's happening. You know, as far as wokeness, he understands
right.
the woke community. Equally, surprisingly, understands the word of God in many areas, you
right.
know. So although I've never heard him confess that he's a believer, I do know that when it came to different things that we played, like, for example, that movie about the end times. Remember he showed that movie from 1981?
Right, right. Sure.
Yeah. He knew every aspect of that. You know, every aspect of that biblically, what was going
sure.
on there. So,
sure.
Yeah. But I can't say that he is a believer, but he has good info. And oftentimes, you know, we pick the best info we can, and
right.
we don't necessarily follow exactly what they're saying. You know what I mean? Their theology.
Yeah.
We wouldn't follow their theology, but they may be
sure.
an expert in one area.
Absolutely.
And I started to listen to him because it involved Europe and England, you know, the UK, different parts of the world. And
right.
I found him accurate in so many areas that he got my attention. He was right in so many ways about what was going on. And I did that personally, having family
mm-hmm.
over
right,
there.
Right.
And we also know that it's coming down the, these things, they're all of one mind. That's what I said in the beginning.
Sure.
So what's
sure.
happening over there will happen here. It's just a matter
yeah.
of getting the people to go along with it.
Right. It's like the
go
snow
ahead.
That you get. The snow that you get today, I'll get it tomorrow.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, we just had 4 inches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Today
so,
it's sunny, by the way.
Thank you.
You're
going to
get one warm day.
Me that. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you.
You'll get one
all
day
right.
this week.
Yeah. Okay.
So, okay.
All right, here we go.
Hello, you're listening to Hugo Talks. There seems to be an agenda behind everything these days. Some form of mind manipulation, social engineering, psychological mind games, gaslighting. I could go on. And it seems to be in everything you see, every news story, every music video, every movie, Netflix shows and adverts especially, and they are pushing many different agendas at the same time. And one of them is the LGBT transgender agenda. An awful lot. They're pushing that one.
Talking about that agenda, and I'm sorry that I'm interrupting you, Hugo, but the other day I was looking at Jeopardy, and I don't watch Jeopardy.
Right.
You know the show Jeopardy? Okay.
Yes.
And my wife is going through the channels, of course. We're like in a daze because we're worn out by the two puppies, so we're just in bed, and she's just flipping through the channels. We're like two dead zombies, right? And she puts it on.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
She comes to Jeopardy, and she says, oh, that was Mom's show. That was her mother's show, right? So
yeah.
We watch a round of Jeopardy, and there is a dude there, a guy, a woman. I couldn't make it out. And he's just scoring. I mean, he's just left. He's got all the answers. I think he ended the day with 40-something thousand for that show. He wiped out everybody. And I'm telling my wife, that's a dude. And she goes, no, that's a woman. I said, no, that's a dude. I'm telling you, that's a dude. I said, look underneath his nose. It looks like he shaved there. He's got gray. He's got a shadow. Right? And then I said, look at his shoulders. I mean, the guy's built like a line. The lady's built like a linebacker. And, of course, she has pearls on. She has, you know. And of course, the host is calling her by her female name.
Right.
Right? We couldn't decide. So I'm typing yesterday, I go to the internet, and there you go. The dude is transgender.
Yeah. Yep.
Transgender.
Yep.
And I said, wow. Wow. I mean, that's I have a friend. I have a friend that all I have to do is put a wig on him and a dress, and he looks just like that dude. He's transgender. That's it. Put a wig on me and put a dress and you take a picture. I'm transgender. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can just tell. You can just tell that. So this LGBT on Jeopardy now. On Jeopardy.
Oh, it's everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah.
You have to look for a show now. You go through the television, you have to find one. Try to find one where there's no agenda. It's not there. I mean, you can look on every channel. We got the Hallmark channel, and it was full of the agenda. Yeah, it's full of the agenda.
Forget that, yeah. That used to be a Christian channel, by the way, the Hallmark channel.
Oh, yeah, years ago.
Yeah, sure. Crazy.
Sure.
All right.
Yep.
And sometimes it is with a odd moral outlook, especially with kids. You remember that John Lewis advert recently, the one with the boy wearing makeup and dressed like a girl running around his family house, wrecking the place, pouring paint all over the carpet while his docile mother watches on and says and does nothing, while he is being a pain in the ass, messing up the house. But he's allowed to be an obnoxious pain in the ass.
Wait a minute. I got to hear that again.
Messing up the house. Mother watches on and says and does nothing, while he is being a pain in the ass, messing up the house. But he's allowed.
Yeah, it's like A.
I know the feeling.
A R S E ars. It's ars.
Ars.
Yes.
Pain in the arse.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay.
Oh, that's my husband.
Okay.
Except to the dog.
Not to be an obnoxious pain in the ass because he's expressing himself as a girl. This annoyed people, so much so that John Lewis axed it. But now we have this creepy, weird advert for Twix, which again Surprise, surprise, it features a boy dressed as a girl and a witch. And once again, it's pushing a narrative. Now, remember, as you watch this advert, this is for a flipping chocolate bar. It's for a Twix.
Twix presents Bite Size Halloween.
Hi. I'm your new nanny. Your parents seem to think you do.
What's your favorite color?
Black.
Other than black.
Charcoal?
Why are you all dressed up? It's not Halloween yet.
Can I help you?
Are you a good witch or a bad witch?
Do you want to find out? You buckles?
I'm still wearing my princess dress.
Do you want to wear it?
Hey, you! Princess! You look like a girl. Why are you wearing that?
Nothing like this makes me feel good.
Is that your nanny? She looks weird. You look weird, your nanny looks weird, you guys are both weird.
No, we're just different.
Boys don't wear dresses.
Whoa!
Whoa! Where is it coming from? What's happening? Help!
We should go.
Will you come back?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, so this is what passes for an advert for a chocolate bar these days. They don't even mention a chocolate bar in the advert. They're so obsessed with trying to push their transgender agenda that they're like, where can we fit the chocolate bar into this advert? Don't worry about it, it's not important. So as you can see, the transgender propaganda has become more ubiquitous in corporate marketing recently. Now, once again, it matters not to me whether you are gay, straight, transvestite, whatever. What you do and believe, it's up to you, it's your own business. But when corporations push this onto the public across the board, trying to socially engineer people's way of looking at stuff, trying to manufacture culture, it really gets my goat. And the message here is, boy dresses as girl, a mysterious and sinister witch becomes his guardian and looks out for him. And then when a bully in the park picks on him, says some nasty stuff to the boy, the witch, using sorcery and black magic, she blows the kid violently away and then runs from the scene of the crime, basically putting out the message that if you say anything against the LGBTQ agenda, then terminating a child's life is a fair response. Yeah, that's okay. And of course it's framed that the witch using black magic, is the good guy or girl, so to speak. Look, I know this advert is somewhat made to get people talking about it on social media, and it works, and here I am doing it. So it works on that front, but I, for one, I don't see how this will help Twix sell more chocolate bars. It will probably do the opposite. I don't think these companies care anymore. These corporations don't care about selling stuff. It's all about the numerous agendas they are trying to push. That's all they seem to be bothered about. And they are all pushing the same agendas, the same narratives across the board. All of these big corporations and companies. As if they all belong to a secret club and that they have all been instructed to push certain things more and more. You know, in a normal world, they could have made that advert, pushed their agenda as well. They could have had the bully kid end up being resentful of his actions. He says sorry, and they share a Twix bar, and everyone is happy. But no, in this world, we have a candy bar company. They want to advocate violence to defend a child wearing a dress. I know maybe I'm reading too much into this and I'm wasting my time talking about it. It's silly, I know. But then again, it's the nuances. It's the subtle placement of certain themes. And these certain themes appearing numerous times over and over, and then where they appear, that lead to controlling how people look at the world. And it just goes to show that this politicizing and propaganda is filtering into everything, even now in a stupid chocolate bar advert. I never really liked Twix bars. I always thought they were a bit boring, a bit bland, more of a Rolo person myself. Last longer. What was the advert for Rolos? Do you love someone enough to give them your last Rolo? That was a normal kind of advert, you know, with like the actual chocolate bar in the advert. And now we have stuff like this. It's a weird, strange, bonkers, and very, very, very dark world at the moment. Right, update on the forum. It's on the way. It should be here in the next couple of days. As always, thanks for listening. Come and subscribe to the tribe at HugoTalks.com.
Pretty interesting video. Like you said, they could have had the kid repenting of his bias, right, and sharing a chocolate bar.
Yep.
Right. But no, they have to kill. They have to kill the kid, and then the chocolate bar isn't even mentioned.
Yeah.
So that's,
I'm with him,
so
a flipping candy bar. It was over a flipping candy bar.
Right, right. Yeah, sure, sure. And like him, I do.
He's angry.
I do prefer Rolos over Twix any day.
Yes, exactly.
Rolos are better.
Yeah, sure, Rolos.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But you
Absolutely.
See how they're militant. This is militant. You know, you kill a kid over a candy, you know, overdressing. It wasn't over the candy bar. There was nothing to do with the candy bar on here.
Correct.
It had to do with the other kid's objection to the child, the male child dressing as a female.
Correct.
And so what did the witch do? Eliminated the child.
Sure. Absolutely.
Is that sick?
Sick. That's sick. That's sick.
Yep.
That's sick.
I thought that
but
was interesting.
But again, you know, yeah, it's the powers that be. And all these, listen, everybody has signed on the dotted line to worship the devil. Who are we kidding?
Mm-hmm.
Who are we kidding?
Yep.
This
exactly.
world belongs to Satan. It belongs to Satan.
Yep.
We're not shocked. We're not shocked.
No, we aren't. We're not. I think the thing is that we're kind of shocked how fast they pulled it off. I think that's, you know, we knew it was coming. We knew it was coming in 2021. But there was still hope. It's like, how can they pull this together? Well, easy enough, pandemic. You know? Who'd have thought? Who'd have thought?
Right, right. Sure.
Because the Bible is said that there's a capturing, but it wasn't clear on how exactly that happened. And that's the thing that people need to remember. There are things we're told. We know as much as the Lord wants us to know in his word, you know.
Sure.
And, you know, there are things we know, like how far is this going to go? How far are they going to take it? We don't know for sure how long he allows them to do this. We can see biblically where it's going, kind of a timeline of how far they get and what happens, and we can look at that through the seals and horses, you know, what's coming up. But how far are they going to take it? I don't know. It's just, you know, only God knows.
Yeah.
Only God knows. They have all kinds of plans, but we'll see how far. We only know biblically how far he allows them to go.
Right.
Okay? So if we follow that, we're good. So, okay, digital. This one is digital driver's license tracks jabs and social credit score. Now, this audio will show how we'll be tracked via smartphone. These are the digital jab passports. They're already being implemented in certain parts of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So remember, bro, how they keep – we did a news show on enhanced ID.
Right.
And we talked about that, and we were concerned about that quite a while ago because they wanted everyone to have an enhanced ID. Well, they couldn't get it implemented, so they extended it to another year. Now it's
right.
2022, but I think they'll try to take it further. I think forget the enhanced ID that everybody needs to have by 2022. I think it will be something bigger than that. We will see at the end of the day. But he talks about this. Very interesting clip.
Okay.
So that's audio
here
2.
Here we go. Yep. Here we go.
Hello, you're listening to Hugo Talks. A lot of times now I have posted videos where I have talked about the government's trying to bring in a social credit system, a 24/7 surveillance, a control grid, a digital infrastructure being set up with a cashless society, a digital trap. Sometimes when I mention this, I still get people saying, you're a fearmonger. It's just fear porn. And when I say things like destroy the smartphones, they are the ball and chain that is going to trap people. Again, a lot of people don't like this talk because they still love their smartphones. But I'm only saying it because it is happening right now. Here is a photograph of a leaflet in regards to a digital driving license in Utah where they list all the things the digital driving license will include. It says that Utah is the first state to sign up for this. And then it tells you what will be tracked using the digital driving license. It says, as you can see, the ones highlighted here are vaccine records. And down the bottom, social credit scoring. Yeah, it's just blatantly spelling it out for you there. You also have health records, financial reports, credit scores, travel records. I'm guessing that's going to be used to see how much, how far you have traveled, so they can try and restrict your energy usage in regards to driving. We also have taxes, registration, spending. What does that mean exactly? Spending. How much money you have spent? Again, you see, tracking everything you do. Voting, sex offender status, licenses and permits of all kinds. And look at this, dietary preferences. Your dietary preferences. Oh, yeah, they're so important to know on a driving license. Again, this is to do with the social credit score. They want to tell you what you should and shouldn't eat and use a social credit tracking system to award you points for being a good boy or take away points for being a bad boy and not doing what they're saying. Again, using the environment as an excuse to do this, to be complete psycho control freaks. Parking fines, fees, background checks, rewards programs, and of course, social credit scoring. And this comes from mobile driver license, as they call it, the future of identity, it says.
New at 11 right now, a Utah supermarket chain is the first in the country to accept and encourage the use of MDLs, or mobile driver's licenses.
Fox 13's Scott McCain is live at the Harmon's, their City Creek location, with the very latest on this. Just another convenience we might all have soon. Hi, Scott.
Or something to be very afraid of, depending on, you know, what your thought process is. But essentially, yeah, put your driver's license right on your smartphone, meaning you don't have to physically pull out your driver's license to verify your identity, you know, to do things like buy adult beverages potentially or pick up prescriptions. And it's technology that has been talked about for quite some time. And Harmon Supermarket here in little old Utah, they were on board right from the get-go. This is a technology pioneered by a company out of Boston. And again, you know, the folks at Harmon's realizing early on that this is very likely the future in terms of contactless verification. Now, once you download a couple of apps, folks at the driver's license division then transfer your license right onto your phone. And at that point, you have three options concerning how much or how little information you want to provide.
Mobile driver's license is the kind of the natural move for the driver's license, just as our credit cards and payment processes have moved to our phone. the driver's license is now moving to the phone.
The developer of this technology says they follow top-level security protocols for storing information on a mobile device, and when that data is transferred, it is all encrypted. So, if you're interested in being the first kid on your block to have the mobile driver's license downloaded onto your phone, well, Harman's has made it terribly easy for you. In conjunction with the Utah Driver's License Division, they have set up two mobile driver's license divisions, one here at City Creek and the other one out at the Traverse Ridge Harman's location. They're open. They started today at 10. They go till 2 p.m. Same drill tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at both of those locations if you want to get on board and get your driver's license imported onto your phone. For now, we're live in Salt Lake City. Scott McCain, Fox 13 News.
Apple is working with several states, including Utah, to bring digital IDs and driver's licenses to your phone.
Fox 13 tech reporter Jordan Hogan explains how this relates to the existing digital driver's license pilot that Utah has already been working on.
Soon it will be even easier to present your ID or driver's license to prove your age or identity. Not only is Utah running its own pilot program for mobile driver's licenses, but it's also working with Apple to get them built into the Wallet app too.
Back in March, Utah's driver license division announced it was going to start working on digital IDs with the company Get Mobile, which uses a standalone app. Fast forward to June, people started signing up for them at some Utah Community Credit Union branches. Then at the beginning of August, people signed up for digital IDs and licenses at Harman's. The state says about 1,200 Utahns are using their digital IDs at limited locations, like a few participating banks and grocery stores. Now Utah is working with Apple to get the IDs onto the Wallet app for iPhones and Apple Watches.
It sounds like we're going to be sometime in the future here, maybe a walletless society potentially, right?
Joe Doherty, the spokesperson for the Utah Department of Public Safety, said they're working with more places to get them to accept these mobile IDs.
We're working with the Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control for state liquor stores, and really that could expand to TSA and other places as well.
To start, Apple's mobile IDs will be accepted at some airport TSA checkpoints across the country, but specific ones haven't been announced yet.
We expect to have a lot more progress by this fall with more liquor stores and more grocery stores coming on board.
Apple's version of the mobile driver's licenses will let you scan your physical version to sign up. But for now, Utah's ones will require you to be at a sign-up event in person to get a digital one.
The bottom line is you will be able to choose between the Get Mobile version that Utah is currently piloting and the Apple Wallet version. Apple's version of the digital IDs is expected to become available in Utah sometime next year. In studio, Jordan Hogan, Fox 30 News, Utah.
So this is pretty much proof of what this is all about. And you know, if you have friends or people who you know who are still spellbound by the media and just don't get what is going on, this is a good video to send them because this digital trap is coming down the line. And the more people who see it for what it is and how fast it's coming towards them, then they are more likely to refuse the digital apps, the QR codes, the passports, or better still, throw away the smartphones and get themselves an old school phone or something. As always, thanks for listening. Come and subscribe to the Tribe.
Boy, they're moving fast.
They are moving fast. That's what I said. We talked about the enhanced ID that they wanted.
You see,
by 2019, extended to 2020, 2021, now 2022. I'm wondering if it's just going to jump from enhanced ID to this. You know,
right?
Without passing go, by the time they did 2020, you know, so
sure,
now you know
sure.
Why I'm playing Hugo, because he has Hugo talk, Hugo talks some more, and Hugo talks again. He's been cut so many times.
Yeah, yeah.
He just keeps coming up with different.
Sure, sure.
Names.
Sure.
But this all started with the Patriot Act, you know, introduced
mm-hmm.
by George Bush. You know,
right.
This is how it started.
Right.
You know, and they always appear more convenient. Everything's about your convenience while they're removing your identity and your privacy. That's what they're doing.
Right.
in the name of convenience. So if you remember that, you know, what does this accomplish at the end of the day? It takes away your privacy. Yeah, it's more convenient. No. I would say fall out of love with your smartphone. Really.
Right. Right.
You know?
Yeah, everybody
I know it's
today.
Difficult for people.
Well, look, people pass by my house. They're walking. Everybody's looking down. Nobody's looking forward.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
They're all looking down. What are they looking down at? They're looking at their phones.
Yeah.
They're looking at their phones. They're bewitched by their phones.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
I go to the supermarket.
It's worse when they're driving.
Oh,
it's worse when they're driving.
Forget it. I go to Walmart. Oh. I go to Walmart, and there are people who work at Walmart. You know, they're putting stuff, they're putting meat down or whatever, and they're answering their phones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're answering their phone. Like, wait a minute. You know, I remember when I used to work in, I'm talking about 1980, when I worked in a factory,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay. Ring, ring, ring. That's my idea of a phone ring. Okay. Hey,
mm-hmm.
There's a phone call for you. Okay, so I would have to go to the boss's station, and there was a
mm-hmm.
phone on his desk, and he's looking. You're talking, and he's looking at you like, this better be 30 seconds, buddy. You got to get back to work.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Right? Today,
yep.
Forget it. Forget it. And then if you get to listen, people who are staying at home working, now I'm not saying that all people do this, but there's a lot of people who stay at home working and they're goofing off a whole lot.
Yeah, really.
It's only human nature.
Yeah.
It is what it is. So
yeah.
The government's going to pay you a base salary. You're going to get your salary. You get to stay home in your pajamas. You can work if you want to. You can answer the phone all you want. People are going to buy into it, you know. And like you said,
mm-hmm.
it's all based on convenience. We're making it easy for you. We want things to be
mm-hmm.
easy for you. And people are just buying it.
Yeah.
They're just going.
In droves.
Yep.
Yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it's terrible.
Wow.
And we talked about, you know, that social credit. We did a new show on that a few years ago, talking
right.
about China. Remember what it was really like to get on a bus? You had to have a good social credit score, you
right.
do in China, to participate in society.
Sure.
And that's, we played that. So.
Right.
You know what?
Well,
there's
like
so many shows we played now that have come down the pipes. It's unbelievable. So
sure,
many
sure,
things
sure.
we were showing.
Sure.
That
yeah, in the church,
just have
they,
manifested.
They have the church credit score. The more bootlicking you do, the better your credit score is.
Yes.
That's, you know,
yes,
same thing.
Exactly.
Same thing. Sure.
Yep. Unbelievable.
Okay,
we have a short one. If we ever run out of videos, I have hundreds yet I can send over because
right.
I think he's pretty good at catching clips, you know, on interesting things. Now,
sure.
this is this involves YouTube. Now, and it's only 2 minutes and 35 seconds, this clip. And let me explain something. This shows how the media hates truth, you know. Right now, they just recently, they removed the dislikes from YouTube, okay? So if you don't like a video that someone puts up, they've removed the dislike button in it. Now, I find
wow.
that interesting.
Sure.
I find it interesting because, and this is a backlash because one of the things is, Joe Biden is so unpopular that when he had put up a video, there were so many dislikes on that video as opposed to likes. okay?
Right.
They're starting to hide that, negatives.
Right.
You know, so what they're doing is they're protecting the creator of the video, you know, while hiding the negative feedback. They do not want you to know that people are in agreement as far as disliking anything, the agenda, any part of this agenda. They want you to believe that everyone is on board. You're the only one that's not on board. So this is just a short clip. It's only 2 minutes and 35 seconds if you want to play it.
Here it is. And it's got a picture of Joe Biden here, like he's in La La
Land. It's funny how it started. It started with this, you know, all of a sudden. So, you know, how much pull does he have in social media? Because
well, the Democratic Party,
Yep.
Okay. Here's more.
Hello, you're listening to Hugo Talks. So YouTube have decided to take away dislikes on videos. Well, to be more specific, they're making them private so people can't see how many dislikes a video gets. It says here, YouTube believes the change will better protect its creators from harassment and reduce the threat of what it calls dislike attacks, essentially when a group teams up to drive up the number of dislikes a video receives. That's what they say. But that, of course, is all bullcrap, okay? The real reason is because the fake stream media and the YouTube counts of celebrities or politicians, as, say, for example, Joe Biden, they get so many dislikes as opposed to likes, it highlights how unpopular they really are and how the majority disagree with them and everything they stand for. And they don't want people seeing that because, well, they don't want you to know that the majority of the public dislike what is taking place in the world today. It's not because of an orchestrated group trying to make them look bad. It's just popular consensus. The majority of people are not happy with them. Just as when the BBC or Sky News post a video of Saeed Javid talking about how they want to sack loads of NHS staff, and the video gets thousands of downvotes, it shows to everyone that these political organizations, these puppet tyrants, are universally hated and disliked by the majority of people watching the videos. The World Economic Forum YouTube channel is a great example. Every video has far more downvotes than upvotes, and this kind of transparent unpopularity made available for the public to see, ooh, that's too close to the truth. Oh, and we can't have that in the fake world these people are trying to create, the metaverse, where everything can be lies. We can't have that. So that's why these clowns are removing the downvotes, so that people won't be aware that other people and populations around the world are disliking, the majority of them disliking what is going on right now. As always, thanks for listening. Comment and subscribe.
Yeah, it's a snowflake generation.
Absolutely.
They can't handle criticism. They can't handle, you know, somebody telling them your TV show's garbage. Right?
Yes, it's exactly.
Just, you know.
Well, it's taking away your ability to publicly object to something that you don't agree with.
Right.
You know, it really does. And it's crazy. Everything now in this generation is a trigger warning. They have to post a trigger warning on everything. No matter what they're talking about, this could offend this person. Okay. This subject could offend, no matter what you're talking about, they put a trigger warning up there. That's amazing.
Sure. Look, it's like...
Boy, we're going to get a lot of them.
Yeah, sure. It's like Marvel Studios just put out a movie called The Eternals, and one of the superheroes in it is gay. Well, guess what happened to that movie? It bombed.
Yeah.
And I believe that a great reason why it bombed is because people don't want to have gay heroes. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Now, You can't do nothing about a gay brother. You can't do nothing about a gay cousin, right?
You
can't, but you don't want your superheroes being gay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so when they shove it in your face, like my son said, I'm not, because he has the collection of the DVDs, right? So he says, I don't want that for Christmas, Daddy. I don't want that for, I said, well,
yes,
you
exactly.
Well, thank you for saving me the $30, chum. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for thinking like that, too. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's an agenda, right? Like Twix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't like Twix. I didn't like the candy. But if I, you know, if I had to buy one, listen, if I have a chocolate bar desire and I go there and all they have is Twix, guess what? I'm not buying it. Why? Because you gave me a little boy in a dress and a witch. Now, you know, so that's what people do. They vote with their dislikes.
Right.
They're letting you know. These people don't want to hear it.
No.
They don't want to hear it. But we
don't.
The world does not. It's like lockdowns. Who wants another Fauci? We must think about maybe potential. Shut up already, Fauci. Dislike.
Yeah.
You know, that guy would have a million dislikes. But
exactly.
Again, right, they disable. They don't want. Why? Because it hurts Fauci. Fauci's a very sensitive guy. He cries over nothing.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't like it when you tell him he's a moron. He's very thin-skinned, Fauci.
Yeah.
So that's the snowflake generation.
Yeah, there's so many parts to this because I see that these major corporations are not even concerned about the product as much as they are the agenda, the promotion. So you see what I'm saying? It's not about selling their product anymore. It's the agenda. So Twix, think of the Twix. Never mentioned the candy. Promoted the agenda. You see? And another thing the dislikes do is publicly they want you to believe. They don't want you to see how many people object. This is, you know, they're hiding that. That's the part of the media we talked about in the beginning, about using the media. When I said they do this well, they push the agenda through every outlet available to them, but equally they withhold real truth from every outlet available to them.
Sure.
So it's a two-prong, you know. That's how they use it. This is a control that they use with the media. So it's amazing. It's amazing to sit back and watch. But, you know, they'll throw their own product under the bus. They don't care if you buy another Twix bar because it's about the agenda in the end. No.
Twix, the company is filthy rich.
Mm-hmm.
That chocolate bar company, it swallowed up. There was one Hershey's, I think Hershey's is owned by Twix is owned by Hershey's. And
so
Hershey bought
the
up the other. Hershey bought up the. They bought up the other company, so they're the only company on the block.
Hey, this product isn't doing good. We'll throw this one.
Right.
Where's the other one? Oh,
I tell you. It's amazing.
You can't make. It is.
Yeah.
Okay. Next audio. This is titled "The World Economic Forum is Canceled." Now this goes, bro. I marked the time on this. It looks like a 7 or 8 minute video, but it actually only goes to 4:01. That's where he's adding music at the end. I don't know if it's to calm down.
Right.
Putting in some music, thinker, you know, whatever. But it is unusual that they canceled their economic forum, because the World Economic Forum is a major player in this. This is player of the agenda. So let's hear why.
But the reason why they canceled it is because the economy stinks. They ruined it.
Yes.
So what are they going to talk about?
Yeah, well, they get together and they discuss other things. I don't think it has anything to do with the economy.
Okay.
This is just about these elites getting together making plans. That's all that
right.
forum is.
And this is Klaus, right? Is this the picture of this guy here? This is Klaus, isn't that?
Klaus Schwab.
Klaus Schwab, whatever. I knew it was something
Schwab.
Like that. Yeah.
Schwab.
Yeah,
but you can call him Schwab if you want.
Listen, I saw his face and I said, that's the Schwab guy, yeah.
He's everywhere.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt if he stands up in a bigger role in all of this. He's behind, he and Prince Charles are behind so much of this. Trust me on that.
Wow.
Trust me on that.
Wow. Speaking, changing the subject for a minute, you gotta allow for this. I'm pretty sure Prince Charles is chomping at the bit, waiting for his mama to die so he can be crowned.
Yep. And they thought, you know, the British public, they don't want him. They want it to go to William. And I just want to tell everyone, you're getting the same thing in William. And you're getting the same thing in Harry. Even though I kind of like Harry, I think he has a better sense of humor.
Right.
He's, you know what I mean? In some ways, I like his personality. He's ready to throw himself out there, you know, make an idiot out of himself. Where William will not do that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's over here, Harry now, and he's pushing the same agenda. So if they, let's say Charles does get in, you know, she kicks a bucket.
Right.
She's been in since, what, 1953 or something like that.
Sure.
So if she kicks, you're going to get worse with Charles, just like they're replacing these people with worse.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know.
Sure.
And it, even if it bypasses him, because the public, really, they don't like Charles. They never have.
Right.
It went to William, you're going to get the same thing. So
absolutely. Listen, that boy knows where his bread is buttered. He's not rocking the boat.
Absolutely.
He's not rocking the boat. Mm-mm.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Go Talks. This is my third video today. First one was on the Omicron variant and the things associated with it. And then I did a video about how Sweden have started putting the passport into people's hands. Both of those are not on YouTube. You can find them at hugotalks.com. Subscribe to get a notification email whenever I upload new videos, as many videos are now not on here due to censorship. So the World Economic Forum are worried. Maybe they have realized that most of the world doesn't like them and don't care for an unelected NGO going around and conspiring with the 1,000 richest companies and governments and the United Nations to tell everyone what they should and shouldn't do. This kind of really irritates people. And now they've cancelled an event in January. Here we see on Swiss Info, it says WEF Forum cancelled following threats, it says here. An open doors event to coincide with the 2022 World Economic Forum in the Swiss mountain resort of Davos has been called off due to threats. Members of the Open Forum have increasingly been intimidated, it says here, and even received death threats from conspiracy theorists. From conspiracy theorists, it says. How do they know this? How do they know what theories people have? Oh, that's right. They are just presuming because it fits their agenda. It continues. During the COVID pandemic, a spokesman Florida Forum organizers told the Swiss news agency Keystone SDA on Friday it was decided to cancel the event in January as it was difficult to ensure security at an open doors event. The spokesman added, oh dear, what is Klaus going to do? People are angry. And rightfully so. Their YouTube channel is full of negative comments, and all of their videos have many more downvotes than upvotes, which was about a week ago easy to see, but now you can't see the massive amount of downvotes because YouTube have stopped the visibility of downvotes, therefore hiding the unpopularity of these type of organizations. And now they are cancelling events because they are worried. I mean, what did they expect? I think the thing that pisses me off the most was when the founder, the Dark Lord and Master of World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, started making appearances and calling for a great reset. And that moment when he said, things will never go back to normal. He said something like, things will never go back to normal. To believe this is a fiction, he says. It's not going to happen. It's a fiction. I mean, who does he think he is? You must have a seriously overinflated opinion of yourself if you make statements like that. Another person in a powerful position whose ego is out of control and out of touch with reality. Nobody voted for this unelected, boring control freak. Nobody elected or asked for him to tell the world it won't be going back to normal and that it was a fiction, okay? Well, it turns out to a certain degree, he is right, though. It's not going back to normal, but it's not going to go the way he thinks, is it? It's very clear they don't have the control they believe or pretend to have. Otherwise, they wouldn't be cancelling events that they had already planned, would they? Like this one. As always, thanks for listening. Come and subscribe to the Tribe at Hugo Talk.
Amazing.
Yeah, it is, because that's where they... Now, listen, what they're doing here, what I see them doing, is blaming... They're saying, okay, we have threats from conspiracy theorists. Those are the truth tellers. Conspiracy theorists would be someone... totally different. You know what I mean? Let's say people talking about, okay, Bigfoot and, you know, the lizard people and you know what
sure.
I'm saying? Getting
right,
into crazy
right.
stuff.
Right.
Vampires, things like that. Or telling the truth about what they're doing as far as communism, Leninism,
mm-hmm.
wokeness.
Right.
That's what they can consider. They're trying to convince the public that's the conspiracy. It's not that they have a conspiracy, you see,
right.
to take over the world because
right,
the Bible
right.
does back that. They do have a conspiracy and they do have a plan to take over. So they're labeling people who are telling the truth about wokeness and stuff as conspiracy theorists. That's what they're trying to do. And they're saying that they were threatened by these people. Where's their proof?
I want, yeah, exactly. Where's the proof? Where's the evidence? Where? Because if that were the case, they would have called the FBI or some other investigative agency
yes.
to arrest these people.
Great point.
Right?
Great point.
So
yeah.
These people are not going to – wait a minute. You threaten me? Wait a minute. Let's call the authorities. We're going to have you arrested and prosecuted and thrown into
mm-hmm.
jail.
Yeah.
So, no,
so
that's –
now you can see – yeah, you can see this, that the resistance among the people has slowed them down a bit.
Absolutely.
So they can't get everyone on board. And this could be the reason they're going to have a new variant, you know?
Right.
You know, they
right.
got to get some control back.
Sure.
Because the people are not. The main point in this, too, is that Hugo pointed out, and we did news shows on, we started right in the beginning with that former KGB guy talking about unelected officials getting into high places.
Right. Like Fauci,
mm-hmm.
right? Like Fauci.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not elected, and look what he's doing.
That's right. Boy, I'm telling you, did the Lord have this down or what?
I'm telling you.
He knew. He knew.
Sure.
He knew what was coming down the pipe.
This guy Hugo, he's on top of it. I mean, he's right there. He's got the goods.
He's got the goods. Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, he's watching everything over there. And I appreciate that because I know it's coming here. What they're doing there, this is global. The Bible says it's global. It will be global. So we have to keep that in mind. Now, this one is disturbing. This is a school, England, and they made some children, or they want children, to wear yellow badges. You know, if they are exempt from getting vaccinated.
Wow.
That should be a major red flag for people.
Sure.
Now, this is a private school.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
That's what the Nazis did to the Jews. They put those bands on their arms. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Think about that. They're messing, really think about that. This is a private school. And it's like 34, that's only 45, well, it's a lot of money, $45,000. Exactly, it's $45,252 in American money to send your child there.
Wow.
This is Kent. We're talking about a posh area of England. So they're paying the parents, and you'd have to be quite wealthy, I would say, to send the kid to this private school, and they're making them wear, or they, want the children to wear these yellow badges. And if you think about it, what are they attacking here? You have to think about what they're attacking from the perspective of the agenda. They're attacking people who legally have the right not to be vaccinated in that country right there. Okay? They have an exemption.
Right.
They're trying to take away the exemption for being vaccinated. So they're using humiliation, I think. Do you think?
Sure. Absolutely. They're going to try to shame them, but these people are not going to be shamed.
Yeah.
They're not going to be shamed. Yeah.
So this is 6 minutes and 42 seconds.
Okay.
This audio.
Hello, you're listening to Hugo Talks. Now, I put up two videos yesterday at hugotalks.com. Not available on YouTube because they would censor them. One was about the Aborigines in Australia, and the other video was a film, wasn't mine. I believe it was by Spacebusters, I believe they are called. Trust Ultra, Trust Naomi, well worth a look. And subscribe to hugotalks.com to get notifications of when I upload videos, because it's getting to a point where it's difficult to upload anything here anymore. And looking at the new terms and guidelines for YouTube coming in next year, they are going to introduce measures which affect those with multiple channels, which is a strategy I've used to stay on here. So I would say my days on here are numbered going forward. So come and subscribe to hugotalks.com so you can keep in touch. Now, we have this story from a school in UK. Now, I've been getting quite a few emails about schools. They are bringing back the masks in force back in schools. I don't know why this is comes to a surprise to many people. I told you this is what they would do, but this particular school is going that little bit further. Here we see, $34,000 a year Kent private school that makes children wear yellow badges if they are exempt from wearing masks is slammed for the inappropriate similarity to yellow stars, etc., etc. It continues, in a letter to parents explaining the decision, Headmaster David Jackson said exempt pupils should wear a yellow badge and other students should wear a face covering until further notice. The school has been criticized for being deeply inappropriate and accused of ignoring the historic connotations. It says here the school was widely criticized for its policy, but co-founder of parent campaign group Us For Them said asking children to wear some form of exemption marker has been quite common in schools, and unbelievably, this specific example of asking them to wear a yellow badge is not in isolation. Now, you know I said back in March, if it was me, as soon as they introduced masks, that I would have taken my kids out of school and they would never have gone back. It was never going to get better. It was obvious. There's no point engaging with a system when it's doing this. Here we see a letter now from a school to parents. This was from a few days ago. I can't be bothered to read it all out, but it says that students in the school must wear face masks in the corridors and in the canteen, and that it says the face mask rule is non-negotiable, it says, unless exempt. And then it goes on to tell the parents the child must bring a mask with them, and if they fail to bring a mask with them, they will have to buy one from the school to enter. And if they continually forget their mask, it says here at the end, for students, for students who persistently forget their mask, there will be no other option to buy another. They will instead be put into internal isolation for the day, and each day they forget their mask. Yeah, I mean, I could go on and say, oh, you know, from the government guidelines on their website, it says no pupil or student should be denied education on the grounds of whether they are or are not wearing a face covering. And that school, by putting your kid in isolation, isn't following the guidelines. I could go on like that. But frankly, how many times are people going to complain? How much does the school have to treat your child as cattle before you say enough is enough? I mean, what are you doing engaging with the system now? I mean, look at all of these people saying, oh, this is terrible. I got this letter from school and I was absolutely disgusted by their attitude, etc., etc. But they keep sending their kids to the school. And by doing that, you are basically saying that you accept it. You know, I mean, I hate to break it to you, but things are not going to go back to normal. In case you missed it, we have now crossed the Rubicon. We have now gone past the point of no return. These lot are taking the piss, and yet you continue to engage with the system. It won't get better if you continue to engage. The things you're complaining about are not going to improve because you're telling them you accept it by sending your kid to the school. When you engage, you are tacitly giving your approval, and you've been doing this, and you're still complaining about the way the school is treating the kids. Clearly, you can see the pattern here. It's not getting any better. If you're in a restaurant and the food tastes like pedigree chum on a plate and the waiter talks to you like an idiot, are you going to continue to go back to that restaurant and give them your money? No, of course not. So why do this? It's not going to go back to normal. The veil has been lifted. People can see stuff that wasn't there before. What's happened is not going to be forgotten. Even if the establishment started saying, oh, look, you know, let's just go back to 2019. Forget everything. Let's go back to normal. It's not possible. This is not water under the bridge. It can't be forgotten about. The veil has been lifted, okay? It can't go back to normal. And there's no point pretending otherwise. If you continue to engage with this, then you're accepting their new normal that they like to call it. And how is that sounding to you? It sounds to me like they want to tell you what to do, want to order your kids to wear masks, and QR codes will be next. Robot slaves of the future. Stop complaining and make a stand against it. It can't go back to normal. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, okay? We don't have to be completely pessimistic about it. It doesn't mean, you know, we don't have to presume that the future is doom and gloom. Although it doesn't look good at the moment, I have to say. But if you look at it from a positive angle, I mean, it could also mean that this is an opportunity to take a stand, to change things. People's eyes have been opened, and you don't like what you see, and you have to make a stand against it to make a change. But it's not going to happen if people continue to engage with it. As always,
Thanks for listening. Come and subscribe to the Tribe.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? And I meant,
sure.
I said jab, but it was mask. But in England, you have to understand that if you don't have the jab, you still have to wear the mask.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? It's the same thing. And when he said taking the piss, what that means is joking. That's, you know, a common way for saying you're joking over there. So I know it sounds crude, but that's what they call joking.
Right.
So, yeah, amazing. And the parents pay for that, you know. Guess what? Take your kids out of there. Save yourself a lot of money.
Sure.
You know, who would pay that amount for a school anyway?
No.
No. Wow. Don't let your wife hear that. She'll say she's underpaid for all
she does. Look, if they said, okay, this is what you got to pay, I say, well, should I pay for him to be a smart moron, or should I keep the money and let him be a broke moron?
Right.
Let's see. Time is up. Okay, what you say? He's going to be a dumb moron, all right, because I'm keeping the money.
Yes, exactly.
No.
No way.
Wow.
Yeah, that's amazing. So that shows you how far they've advanced over there, you know.
I'm telling you.
It's crazy.
Sure.
It's crazy. Okay,
sure.
We're going to skip to seven. We're going to forget six because that might make you sick. So we're going to go to seven. You don't want to see Santa kissing Santa. We'll save it for the end if we need it.
Okay. All right.
I know what you're going to do. You're going to have a hissy over that one.
Sure.
That's the new Christmas advert, by the way. Santa's kissing Santa. Wow, the Santa Claus is now come out of the chimney.
Yeah.
I don't know how else.
Well, better than Santa kissed Santa than Santa be kissing Rudolph. That would be a...
Yeah, that'll be next.
Yeah, that'll be bad. If Santa's making out with Rudolph, forget it. Next year, you're right. That'll be next year's ad.
Oh.
Wow.
We'll look back at this. If we're still on the air, we'll look back at this and say, told ya.
Yeah, sure.
I'll say, bro predicted this when Rudolph gets fog. Oh, man. Okay, audio seven. It says, question mark, he put insane or possessed. And I think, or scared for his life. We're going to hear a little clip. It's only a minute and 29 seconds. And this is like the prime minister or something of Australia, which is a really scary place right now.
Right.
I thought that was one of the worst places to be with this agenda going on. So is he following the agenda, or could he be insane or possessed? Here, you know.
Wow.
And I think is going to be a good example of bullying if you don't like or refuse the jab. This is, again, Australia.
Yeah. All right. Let's listen to this.
Some of whom were vaccinated, has had an impact at all on vaccine take-up in parts of the territory?
No. And I'll repeat it. If you are anti-mandate, you are absolutely anti-vax. I don't care what your personal vaccination status is. If you support, champion, give a green light, give comfort to, support anybody who argues against the vaccine, you are an anti-vaxxer. Absolutely. Your personal vaccination status is utterly irrelevant. If you campaign against the mandate, if you campaign against people being vaccinated in vulnerable settings, teachers in classrooms, I'll be really clear. At that point in time, people were actually supporting the idea of a teacher being unvaccinated in a remote community classroom with kids who cannot be vaccinated. I reject that. I still reject it. And if you are out there in any way, shape, or form campaigning against this mandate, you are absolutely anti-vax. If you say pro-persuasion, stuff it, shove it. We are absolutely going to make sure as many Territorians as possible are vaccinated. That is our best protection against this thing. And if you look at the Doherty model that's only come out since, that says if you double dose 80 in remote communities, 5 and up, I think you'll see our vaccine mandate is absolutely crucial to protecting lives, particularly Aboriginal lives. And I will never back away from supporting vaccines. And anyone out there who comes for the mandate, you are anti-vax.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. You're an anti-vaxxer. If you can't take the vaccine, you're the enemy, because he's going to guarantee that everyone gets it.
Sure.
Regardless of what they think or feel.
Wow.
Woo.
That guy,
scary guy.
Scary. Sure. I think he's married to your governor. He must be married to your governor. That's one spooky lady over there.
She is.
Oh,
she is.
Sure. Wow.
She's something else. Yeah. Really. I mean, you know, he got his way. He got his way. He's pushing that. I mean, they have military on the ground over there. They did it.
Really?
Yeah, they had military push some things on the ground there.
Scary.
And did you see? Did you see with the lawlessness going on? I see that Trump made a comment. Well, you need to bring in the military. I didn't like that.
No.
With
no,
the shootings and things like that.
Yeah. I tell you.
Well, you need to bring in the military if people don't abide and do, you know. No, you don't want the military. You do not want the military coming in on your streets, I'm telling you right now.
No. No, that's not something you want.
Right.
No. I tell you, it's I was watching the video, and that guy, his eyeballs are popping out of his head, and he is so I mean, he's smoke's coming out of his ears, fire's coming out of his mouth. He was lit up, that guy. It's scary. Australia is a scary place to be at.
Yeah. He put question mark, insane, possessed, or scared for his life.
Yeah.
Hugo had.
Yeah, sure.
That was interesting.
Wow.
Okay. We're going to, I think we'll get through two more. So we're going to go 8. And this is a video he titled, Don't Rise to Their Bait. So, and this you'll see how they twist, you know, an event to suit their own narrative.
Right.
Most protest marches against the lockdown mandate are not reported. But if you can throw in where a police officer was injured, they report it. They start reporting on the police officers who were injured in any kind of march. Not like BLM marches, that was okay. But if you have a peaceful protest, they turn that and start talking about the police that were injured and make it look like the people in the agenda or the people are anti-vaxxers, like you would say, or they're troublemakers because they're protesting the lockdown. So they turn the narrative,
right?
You know. And in a picture of this, you'll see Albert Pike, who was a 33-degree Mason. And this is following his works of Morals and Dogma, by the way. Just FYI on that. So, all right.
Okay. Here it is.
That's number 8.
Yeah.
Hello, you're listening to Hugo Talks. So last night there was the Million Mask March in London, and this has been featured in the fake stream media. What a shock, eh? Unlike the Freedom March last Saturday, where there were tens of thousands of people attending, it was peaceful, but it wasn't featured or talked about anywhere. This one last night, because
There was a little bit of argy-bargy, pushing and shoving. It's been featured, talked about on GB News, BBC, Sky, newspapers. Why? Because it suits their agenda, because they can now use it to paint the protesters as thugs, etc. Here we see protesters clash with police at Million Mask March in central London. Five officers injured, it says. Here we see in The Guardian. Oh, look, the number's gone up here. It says eight police officers injured in clashes with protesters in Parliament Square. Here we have the Daily Mail. It says 12 anarchists are arrested and eight police are injured after anti-vax thugs take over central London, burn effigy of Boris Johnson, hurl fireworks and brawl with officers, etc., etc., etc. It's all massively overblown, of course. You see, the fake stream media love this because it suits their agenda. That's why they are talking about it. They want the chaos. They want the anarchy. They want to use that as ammunition to paint protesters as thugs, as violent, as stupid, whatever, as the bad guys, the villains of the piece, and then sell that image to the public, which then reinforces their belief system, a belief system which has been manufactured all of this time by the fake stream media and has led to the situation we are all in now. People are angry. Of course they are. I get it. But the problem is they want anarchy and chaos. It plays into their hands. If you go along to these protests with that in mind, you're scoring an own goal. You're doing exactly what they want. There are people placed in these crowds. They are there to whip up a frenzy, agitators, to get the crowd going, to create the scenes.
This is why that young man, Kyle Rittenhouse, should have never been at that riot.
That's right.
Now
he didn't
go to jail. But look at the amount of money this young man spent on attorneys. I mean, he's in debt. In addition to that, the University of Arizona is already protesting his admittance into that school. People want him kicked out of that school.
Yep.
So, listen, never go to a place where they have these agitators and you're going to get caught up in the emotion. You're going to get caught up, and it's going to turn ugly, right?
They have plants in all these, yes.
Sure.
They have plants in these protests. And we said that from the beginning. We talked about that, not getting involved. Don't do it because there's plants in there, and you're going to get labeled with them. No matter what happens, you're going to get labeled and singled out. So,
correct.
You know.
Correct.
Terrible.
All right, here's more.
You saw last night, in order to get these headlines and to create chaos and disorder, it's straight out of the Marxist playbook, trying to incite chaos, whether through the advocacy of anarchy or through subversive movements meant to destabilize societies. And this is what they want. They want anarchy. They want to defund the police. The Great Reset, as we keep on hearing, it's all about you will own nothing and be happy. I wonder who that guy is in the World Economic Forum advert, the one that's smiling. I bet he wished he never went to do that modeling job on that day. Anyhow, you can't get more Karl Marx than the abolition of private property, of no one owning their own home. You will own nothing and be happy. This is the system they want, a system that the public don't want, a system that nobody's asking for, yet for them to achieve it, they would like to get the public to ask for it. And one of the ways to achieve it is through order from chaos. Karl Marx was a Freemason. Karl Marx also claimed to be an atheist. Religion is the opium of the masses and all of that stuff. But he also wrote poetry from Satan's point of view. So who knows what he was? Look, you create anarchy, chaos, break down the system in place in order to replace it with a new one. It says here, when all previously existing forms of hierarchy have been overthrown, all morals have been destroyed and all traditional culture has been ruined. Communism is the state of desolation. Anarchists achieve this by internally destroying their recognition of morals and hierarchy, breaking the bonds of morality and order at all stages of the divine hierarchy through which natural order was believed to extend from heaven, down through the layers of human society and into a person's own systems of personal restraint. Chaos operations fit deeply into this system. Chaos is not only the state of moral and social desolation that both communism and anarchy aim to achieve, but also a state of destabilization that allows a subversive movement to implement a new system. And that new system results in you will own nothing and be happy. Or so they make out, you're going to be happy, I don't think you will be. So this is what they want. They want chaos and anarchy, they want the system to appear to break down in order to bring in their new system that they have waiting in the wings, their so-called Great Reset. So when you see last night, now don't get me wrong, much of that was totally over-exaggerated in the media and much of it is manufactured by the crisis actors placed in the crowd. But even so, no matter how angry you may rightfully feel about what's going on in the world, by going along with all of this, you're playing into their hands. You're doing what they want. It's a game. Ultimately, the people have power. If people say no, if people refuse in the majority, that's all that needs to be done. Unfortunately, the majority of the people are spellbound by the media and are following that narrative, although many are waking up quite recently. But these type of headlines only help to reinforce the opinion of the most stubborn. And they know that. And they know reporting on the peaceful march from last week does not help them. That's why they are so silent over that story last week. The media is their most powerful weapon because they know that the people have the power. So control over the majority of the people and their mindset is what it's all about. The majority of the public are now starting to ask questions, are now starting to wake up. So they will try and distract them from waking up. And anarchy and chaos and them using that to paint the truthers as the villains of the peace, the bad guys, is a classic trick. So don't give them that ammunition to use against us. Don't be led into reacting. Keep a level head on you. As always, thanks for listening. Come and subscribe to the tribe at HugoTalks.com.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. He's a pretty smart guy. I think, you know, you notice he sees the agenda all the way through. And yes, if we want to talk about Marxism, yeah, you can look at Albert Pike, you know, the head of the Freemasons. So,
sure.
You know, that's all a part of this. Remember, that's a part of this. My phone just said it was dying, so I'm plugging it in while we do. Okay, the last audio that we have here is interesting. And this is EU dictatorship. This is extremely important, okay?
Okay.
And it's very revealing for our time right now. And I think you'll get something out of this. And then we can talk when we get this done.
Okay.
All right.
Here we go. Here we go. Now,
that's
who
nine.
Is this lady? Who is this lady on this video?
He will tell you. He will explain
okay.
who she is.
Okay. Here it is.
Hello, you're listening to Hugo Talks. So today we've got Ursula von der Leyen, the president of the EU, going up and saying on some podium somewhere, maybe the possibility of mandating the jab across all of Europe is something that she talked about. Now remember, much of what we see and hear in the news on a daily basis, in the headlines, is not news. They are threats. Most of the time, empty threats. They are always talking about something that may happen in the future. They are always trying to plant seeds of worry into the public's mind.
And they do this to scare people, because when people are afraid, they are easier to influence. And these puppet tyrants will pull every trick in the book. So yeah, this privileged. And she's a bit like Klaus Schwab, isn't she? Completely unelected by the public. This entity comes out and says this today. The president of the EU. How did she get to be president of the EU? Do you think maybe that she got there because the public, the people of Europe, all of those countries wanted this woman to uniformly lead all of the European countries, and all of the public voted for her? No, of course not. Don't be silly. There's 746 million people in Europe. 746 million. And none of them voted for her. She was voted in as president of the EU by just 383 votes by all the rich puppet tyrants and connected to royalty types. Never mind the 746 million people of Europe. So here she is lording it up on the podium, telling everybody what they should do. None of the public, 746 million people in Europe, voted for her. It's a joke, isn't it? It's all fake rubbish. I wonder how she got into this position in the first place. I mean, do you think maybe she comes from an impoverished family? Do you think maybe she grew up living on a German council estate with a mum and dad on a dole, eating packets of Watsits for her lunch, and against all of the odds, against all the insurmountable odds of her family background, she rose, she fought, she got to the top to become president of the EU, like a rags-to-riches story. Did she feg? She comes from big German money, big-name political families. Her father was one of the first civil servants, a politician, to establish the European Commission. He was the premier of Lower Saxony. He was also the CEO of a big food company, Bausen, who used to use forced labourers back in the Second World War. She comes from the Albrecht family, a long line of civil servants, doctors, cotton merchants, etc. The Albrecht family were among the third elite class of the electorate and kingdom of Hanover in the 18th and 19th century, after nobility and clergy. Her great-grandfather was a super wealthy cotton merchant who was part of the Hanseatic elite, which was a German hierarchy group consisting of elite individuals and families of prestigious rank who constituted the ruling class of the free imperial city of Hamburg. That's her great-grandfather. Her grandfather was also a cotton merchant. Must have been handed down to him. Her American ancestors played a significant role in the British colonization of the Americas. They were plantation owners who had slaves. Her ancestor, James H. Ladson, owned over 200 slaves. Her relatives and ancestors were among the wealthiest in British North America in the 18th century, and she descends from one of the largest slave traders in the 13 colonies, Joseph Rag. She married Heiko von der Leyen, who is a member of the von der Leyen family. This is their coat of arms, and they made a fortune being silk merchants, and her brother is the CEO of Deezer, which is a rival to Spotify. And it goes on, and check out the wiki page if you can be asked. So anyway, the answer is no, I don't think she grew up on a council estate eating Watsits with her mum and dad on the dole. I don't think that is the case. She comes from privilege. She comes from big money families with their own coats of arms, political nepotism, big business family bloodlines. You know the score. She's been groomed her entire life to be put in that position. An unelected, spoiled, privileged individual who was born into riches, who has never had to work or earn the position that she has, who is now the president of the EU, which consists of 746 million people, 746 million people who never even voted for her to be in that position, who never asked for a president. A privileged person whose ancestors were slave owners, who is now barking orders, telling you all to get the jab and get a green pass on your phone so you can become a digital slave. You're having a laugh. Jog on. Complete and utter nonsense. As always, thanks for listening. Come and subscribe to the tribe at HugoTalks.com, a place for like-minded people who don't follow.
Interesting. So interesting. My goodness.
Her ancestors. Now, this is a new unelected president of the EU. This is new news here. She's over 746 million people who she wants to require, force to have the jab. She is very privileged in her background, okay? She helped form the colonies in the United States, and her ancestors were major slave owners.
Right, right. Well,
let's tell you, how does she feel? How does she feel about equality?
Exactly. Listen, why are they all wanting people to get this jab? What's in the jab?
Yes.
I mean, remember you did that series on Ted Turner and how he said, look, man, we just want to reduce the population. We just, you know, we have this agenda. There's too many people on the planet, and we just want to, you know, we just want to curtail it back.
Yep.
Could it be that this jab does that?
Well, it was Bill Gates who did the TED conference that we played, that's no longer on the internet, by the way, who recommended vaccines for depopulation. That's no longer up. We played that audio.
Right.
You can't find it now.
Right. Yeah. No, you can't find it now.
TED Talk.
Yeah. Sure. And sure.
Yeah, so, you know, what is the thing? And who's to say who gets what jab? I mean, you know, that's a question I've always had. Does everybody get the same thing, or do people get, you know, a placebo? You see what I'm saying? That's my thought process. I don't know. But what's interesting here is she comes from the Hanover. You know, the Hanovers. Now, the Hanovers, they go back in England from the beginning. The Hanovers have tried to take over England to get back in to power. It was actually Hanover at one time, the power in England, and they've tried to get the power back. We're talking, you know, you can go back before Elizabeth I, who they actually, Henry VIII's daughter, they tried to get the power back and tried to get into power by getting rid of her because she was young, you know, when she started to rule. And they wanted to get it back. The Hanovers have been fighting to get England back since then, the country back in under their power. And that was the Hanovers. And I'm telling you, this goes back centuries. And it's just amazing that a Hanover descendant appears in this time. Because there's no way, you know, like the Windsors now have it, but the Hanovers have always, at one time, because of their bloodlines, their descendants, they lost power. Now they're trying to get the power back. And it went, you know, down through the generations until they took over the Windsor. And I can tell you now they took over that name because they couldn't take over Philip's name because he was German. Philip was German.
Interesting.
Yes.
Wow.
And you couldn't be an English power player with a German last name.
I see. So the boys, Harry and William, they're part German.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. Wow. And this lady came from the Hanovers. Yeah.
Amazing.
I mean, when you follow this back, and I know English history well, and this, when I heard Hanover, oh, wait a minute, they tried to get rid of, you know, Elizabeth I.
Right.
You know, I think the uncle came to visit her. That was the Hanover, trying to trick her to, you know, they would kill each other for leadership back then.
Wow.
To get in. So, yeah, it's an interesting history. But, see, it centers, a lot of this centers around England. And now here's the funny thing to me. The thing, I thought about this. Okay, England just had Brexit.
Right.
She's the new head of the EU, the European Union. And England just cut away from the European Union.
Sure.
Now, why is that?
That's interesting.
Isn't it? Something to think about.
Something
is it because of the Hanover was coming in?
Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah.
That's, I tell you, that's, you know,
it's some weird stuff.
A little, yeah, it reminds me a little bit about, for example, there's a billion Catholics, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the Catholics don't vote for the Pope. It's only the 180-something cardinals that get to vote for the Pope.
Hmm.
So it's the same thing in the European Union. In the European Union, the 760-somewhat million people didn't vote for this lady. But
that's
who
right.
voted her in? Some other group, right?
Yeah.
So it's the same thing like the Pope. It's the same thing.
And you remember, I'm not sure if the Hanovers would have been a Catholic because Elizabeth fought to keep Catholicism or the Pope out of England, even though it was the Church of England, we know, and,
right.
and Henry, you know.
Right.
They removed the icons and the Pope out of England, basically.
Sure.
But I'm not sure if the connection, I'll have to look into the Hanovers, if they were Roman Catholic, which I would presume because most of, you know, there was big opposition to Elizabeth getting in there because she wanted to, you know, the Pope out of the affairs. And she followed her father's wishes to where you had the other sister, Bloody Mary, when she ruled, she was killing. She was killing Protestants or, you know.
Left and right.
Right and left.
Persecuting them. Yeah. She was going, that Bloody Mary, that was one scary lady.
Yeah.
She's like a Jezebel, you know. She was just exterminating the people of God.
Yeah. Henry had the two daughters there that were to reign, and Mary got in. And Mary, you know, tried to change and put it back, you know, under the Pope, and she passed away. Elizabeth got in, and Elizabeth switched it back again.
Right.
So they were happy just to have Mary dead, you know, the Protestants during that time.
Absolutely.
So now you're going back before the Reformation, even.
Talking about heretics. Marcus Lamb from Daystar Network kicked the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
He got COVID.
Really?
Yeah, Marcus Lamb from the Daystar Network.
Oh, wow.
2 days ago. And, you know, he's only 64. He's a young man. I'm 62.
Yeah.
I'm young. I consider myself young. I don't want to shovel snow anymore, but I consider myself young. And and Marcus Lamb, the adulterer, the shyster, the scam artist, he kicked the bucket, COVID.
Wow, I didn't even see that. Of course, I haven't been looking at the news. I've been busy.
Yeah. I know what that's like. I've been busy, too. I've been busy, too.
I had to put a grandchild in time out for a little while yesterday.
Yeah, sure.
I'm not cruel. I had him sit down and behave himself for a minute. He fell asleep.
Listen,
he took a nap. that he needed. Oh.
Listen, when I was, my kids say to me, "Oh, you had it good." I said, "No, your grandmother was." I was the first, before Sputnik, I was already in orbit. They go, "What do you mean by that? Your grandmother would smack me off the head and I would be, forget it. What are you talking about?" Please. Today, time out? I wish there were times out in my day. Rather than the whippings I used to get. Please.
I know, I was spanked. I mean, I was really spanked. And yeah, they get timeouts. Now if he does this, he gets a timeout. Well, he was on his last timeout.
He's
the bully. I think he's a bully. I really do. I think, you know, he has no qualms if somebody shoves him a little, and he's only two that he pushes back, and I tell him that's not nice. You know, that's not nice. He's just got a tough guy attitude for two.
Yeah.
And he's going to be tall. As it is, extremely tall. And, you know, so I don't know. But, yeah, he got the little timeout and,
He was tuckered out.
So he was happy.
Tuckered out. Sure.
He was tired and he was, you know, being a little pushy. So I said, "You have to sit. And you have to sit there for a few minutes." And he was asleep within 3 seconds.
Wow.
Oh,
what a blessing.
Like, okay.
What a blessing. What a blessing when they fall asleep. Oh, my goodness. What a blessing.
I know. It was like, phew. Oh.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, great show. Mr. Hugo's Talks did a wonderful job of, I mean, he covered all the bases.
Yeah.
Later on, I got to check out the Kissing Santa Claus because, you know, wow. That's, you know, we go from Mommy Was Kissing Santa Claus, that old Christmas song. I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus. Now I caught Santa Claus kissing Santa Claus. Wow.
Yeah, next year it's the, like
yeah,
you said,
sure,
the reindeer.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So you have the last word, my sister.
Well, I would like to say that, you know, we're going to start a series on fear. And we're, you know, what's okay to be concerned about, and what's not okay to be concerned about. So I think it's important we deal with this, and I think it'll help all of us. I think we need to start out, you know, and this will probably run into January, you know, because we're taking time off, but. You know, I just want to mention that. And why do we fear? You know, what are we afraid of? So I think it's going to be a great series. I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, I hope it helps everyone. I think it's going to help all of us. And thank you for listening, and we'll see you next Thursday. Have a great day and be blessed. Bye.
These are the last days. These are the days we need him the most. Our chances are slim now. Narrow's the way not chosen by most. This could be our last call. There's no tomorrow for holding on to. So let's hold on to the truth. Perilous times have come. There's already those in tribulation. The fullness of times won't be long. But lovers of self more than lovers of God. And there's pride in the heart of everyone. We need to repent, turn from our ways, and overcome as he overcame. And if we're possibly lukewarm, then we have been forced. These are the last days, and we've been condemned by our own disregard for what inhabits our hearts. We're neither hot nor cold, but in our own eyes the temperature's right. Somehow we're living just right. We claim we have need of nothing, and yet we are poor, naked, wretched, and blind. We must be out of our minds. We need to repent, turn from our ways.